Hey, everybody, and welcome to New Hope Windward Online. My name is Jenny, and I am one of the worship leaders here.
And my name is Todd. I'm one of the pastors here as well. Hey, we're super excited that you are tuning into us online. Now, many of you know that across the U.S., Regal Cinemas has closed its doors, as well as Kailua High School. And so what that means is for a season, we do not have a place to meet as a church for services. However, we are bringing uninterrupted church services to you and your family right here online on our website. So we're really excited about that. And as a way for us to be proactive as well, we are maintaining social distancing.
Yeah, 6 feet apart, brah. If you are joining us for the first time, I'd just like to welcome you. And we'd love for you to stay connected with us. So on our webpage, at the very bottom, there is a newsletter section. Just go ahead and fill out that information, and we will keep you updated with everything happening here at New Hope Windward.
And if you've been a part of our church for a while and haven't received the e-newsletter updates from Pastor Dave, that means we don't have your email address. So in that same section at the bottom, be sure to fill in your email address, your information, and we'll make sure that you get that.
Well, we just have a few announcements and updates to share with all of you. We've recently revamped our website to make it easy for you and your family to tune in to our services online. As you know, all services have been moved online until further notice. So you can go to our website and you can click on the link to watch.
And we also have something for your kids and your youth. There's something for everybody in your family. And so if you look further down, you scroll down, you'll be able to see a couple of links, one for Kids Zone Online as well as for Youth Online. There's some great online lessons and activities for your kids and youth.
Yep, there sure is, Todd. And even though we won't be meeting at our regularly serviced times on Sundays for the time being, many of you might be wondering how you can continue to worship God through your giving. We want you to know that we've made it easy for you. On our website, there is a Give tab. Just go ahead and click on that tab, fill out your information, and you can give a one-time gift or have it recurring monthly. It's safe, it's easy, and it's super convenient.
That's great, Jenny. And if you would like to check out our website for regular updates on our church as it relates to coronavirus, or find out whether the resources are on our website, be sure to click those links on the homepage as well.
And as we are in a time of uncertainty, we know that one thing is for sure, that Jesus will have the victory. And even though we are encouraged to practice social distancing, that doesn't mean that we need to practice spiritual distancing. So on April 10th through the 12th, our Easter services will be available for you online. We have a great Easter service in store for all of you.
Yeah, I'm super excited. We have an amazing Easter service planned for you. So make sure you invite your friends and family to tune in and join us online from April 10th to the 12th. Super exciting. Hey, and if you are in a small group, now many of you know that we have put a pause on all of our small groups meeting together in person. However, there are lots of different alternatives for your group to continue to make sure that they're connected to one another. And so you could do everything from conference calling your small group, or you can take advantage of some free video conferencing apps like Zoom. In fact, stay tuned. If you've never used that, on our website, you're going to find some instructions on how to be able to do that. But my small group is going to meet with Zoom next week. We're going to start doing that. How about you, Jenny?
Yeah, my small group will be on Zoom as well.
That's awesome.
Well, we know that many of you have registered for our baby dedication as well as our School of Dance, but we want you to know that it has been postponed for now until further notice, until we can meet again at both campuses. So keep updated for that.
Well, hey, we're going to transition into a time of giving. So, hey, many of you know that as a church, we financially sponsor a lot of different church plants across the islands, as well as many faith-based organizations across the world. And our heart as a church is to make sure, especially during these tough times, that we can continue to support those guys, because they are doing an amazing work for God to transform the lives of countless people all across the world. And so thanks, New Hope Windward, for your amazing hearts and your generosity to make sure that we as a church can continue to do that.
And as a church, we need to continue to pray. So New Hope Windward, wherever you're at, would you just take a moment and pray with me? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for who you are. Lord, we thank you that you are the sovereign God over all the earth. You go before us. You're beside us and you're all around us. Lord, your word says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And so we believe And we receive these words and we trust in you, Lord. Lord, we pray for those who are infected by COVID-19. Lord, I pray that your healing hand would just touch them. I pray for those who are affected by this, those who have had to close their business, and those who are out of work. Lord, thank you for being our provider, and in you we lack nothing. So we lift all these things up to you, Lord. We pray that you would take what is given today and that you would use it in furthering your kingdom. We love you, we honor you, and we worship you. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Jenny. Well, hey, today we have an amazing message from our very own Pastor Dave. So without further ado, would you give a warm welcome as Pastor Dave comes to share the message with us.
Well, good morning to all of you. We want to welcome you to joining us online today. My name is Dave, and if we've never met, I'm one of the pastors at New Hope Windward, and we are so glad that you're joining us online. Well, it's been a crazy week this week, hasn't it, with the coronavirus pandemic affecting tons of challenges and changes around the world. One of the challenges we faced is just finding a place to actually broadcast this message. And so this will be a little different for me because I'm actually speaking without any audience. And so I want you to laugh really loud at your home or wherever you're watching this so that I get a little bit of feedback, all right? Show me some love, okay, everyone? So, well, as I mentioned before, we all know that we've faced a worldwide coronavirus pandemic. And there are actually two pandemics going on right now. Of course, the coronavirus pandemic, and then there's a pandemic of fear that's been happening. And as a result of all of the changes and challenges related to the coronavirus pandemic, a lot of people are experiencing fears and anxieties and tension. And so I just want you to know, I have been praying for you. My wife Lisa has been praying every day for you, and we will continue to pray, and we want you to know that we will lead you through this. We will go through this together, and we are going to make it through this together. And so just know we're praying for you daily. Now today, to help us walk through this crisis that we're all experiencing, we're going to talk about this message. If you look up here on the screen, here's the title of my message. It's Overcoming Fear During a Virus Crisis. And I want to remind you today some things that can calm your worries in the days ahead. I want to remind us of some things that can reduce our fears, some things that can relieve our fears that may arise in the days ahead. And, you know, everybody has fears. I mean, I've had some fears I've wrestled with my entire life, and each of us are afraid of different things. One of my fears is when I'm on a tall skyscraper and I'm up really high, and when I peek over the ledge of that skyscraper and look down, immediately, I just feel fear. I have a fear of super high heights when I look over the ledge. I also have a fear of centipedes getting close to me. And I realized this not too long ago when we had a centipede in our bathroom on the toilet paper roll that was this long. And man, that sucker started moving, looking at me like, ah. And I was like, ah! And I was just like, oh man, it just evoked all kinds of fears in me because I didn't want to get stung. And so everybody has fears. So let me ask you, what are you afraid of? What has been causing you to worry lately? What fears have been arising in you? What stresses have come into your life? Because what we're going to talk about today is how do we overcome that? Now, a lot of times when we experience fears, people will just say to us, just relax. You just need to relax. Like, don't worry about it. That's nothing. And it's easy for others to say that to us when they're not experiencing the same fear. It's easy to say, don't worry about the financial impact of this when they're not experiencing the financial impact of this. And so it's not always easy to get through things. It's not always easy to just, you know, just relax when we're in the midst of fear. I remember this very well. Years ago, I had surgery to remove a benign tumor on the bottom of my foot. And I remember the surgeon telling me, Dave, this is a routine surgery, so you don't have to worry. It's no big deal. We'll put you under anesthesia, and it'll all be good. And so, honestly, I just didn't worry about it. I had all kinds of peace. I wasn't worried about it. And so the day of the surgery, the OR nurse was wheeling me into the operating table, and they put me on the table. And then the OR nurse, she grabbed my arm, and I didn't even know these surgery tables have this, but she added this little arm pad on the side off the table, and she strapped my arm. And then she said, I need your other arm. I was like, whoa, I can't move this one. And then she strapped my other arm. I was thinking, like, what are you going to do, like, pound some nails in my arm? I'm like, my gosh, what's going on here? I said, excuse me, what are you doing? She said, well, when you're under anesthesia, when the doctor starts to cut you, sometimes you jerk around. People jerk around. And so we just want to make sure that you don't jerk around while he's cutting you. And I was like, oh, that's so weird. And she could tell the fears were starting to surface in me. And so then that OR nurse, you know, put the anesthesia mask over me. And she said, it's okay. You know, you don't have to worry about this. And she said, go ahead, just take a deep breath. And she said, don't worry. This will be over soon. And then she went, I'm just kidding. She didn't do that, but just wanted to keep you engaged. But I was like, oh my gosh, fear was starting to rise in me. And she said, this will be over soon. And I'm thinking, what does she mean? Over, like over, like my life is over. Like, am I going to wake up on the other side of this? And fear was rising in me. And you know, there's just some situations when people say, it's okay, don't worry about it. It's easy to say that unless you're going through something. You know, it's easy to say, don't worry about the coronavirus until you have a family member that might contract the coronavirus. It's easy to say, don't worry about the financial impact of this unless you start to feel the financial impact of this. And, you know, the reality is we're facing unprecedented times, and people respond in unprecedented times in different ways. Some people, by nature, they're overreactors. And when something happens, a crisis happens, they're like, oh my gosh, it's the end of the world. It's just kind of a natural inclination they have. Other people, when a crisis happens, they're kind of like underreactors. And they're just kind of like, no worries, it's all good. And I bring that up because as we're in this unprecedented crisis, I want to encourage us to be sensitive as people respond to things differently. And I want to encourage us to just give grace to everybody. You know, sometimes, you know, maybe we don't need to say, don't worry about it. It's all going to be good. I mean, sure, we should encourage people, but sometimes we just need to give people a lot of grace and space to process this. And so our natural inclination might be to overreact or to underreact, but might I suggest that during this time that we, Jesus, react, that we react to this crisis the way that Jesus would react. You see, as you read the scriptures, you'll see that Jesus was quite calm in crisis. He had a lot of peace. He had a lot of strength. And I want to encourage us to be Jesus reactors during this time. And so I want to talk about how can we do that? How can we be not overreactors or underreactors? How can we react like Jesus would react? And so what we're going to do is we're going to talk about a passage of scripture. And I want to give you kind of the summary of this message, the big idea of the message in these words. In fact, you may want to write this down. If you're on our website, there's actually a notes section to the right of your screen, and you can write this down, or if you have your phone with you, take a picture of this, or just write this down. Here is how you can be a Jesus reactor in this crisis. Here it is. When you feed your faith, you will starve your fears. When you feed your faith in a crisis, it starves your fears. On the other hand, when we feed our fears, it starves our faith. And so I want to go through a passage of scripture that can teach us how can we feed our faith? How can we starve our fears so that we can be Jesus reactors, not only to ourselves, but to those around us during this crisis? So we're going to go through a passage of scripture that has brought comfort and peace and relief to millions of believers over the generations. It's Psalm 23, and it's written by a guy named David who was very familiar with crisis. He was familiar with family crisis, a wartime crisis. He was familiar with plagues. I mean, this guy had been through the gamut of crisis. And I want you to see how he talked to himself to feed his faith and starve his fears. Let's look at the first verse. It gives us the first clue to feeding our faith and starving our fears. David says this in Psalm 23, verse 1. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need." Now, we don't live in a day and age where we have shepherds and sheep, so we're not always familiar with how shepherd and sheep are. And so the Bible often refers to God as the shepherd. In fact, Jesus said in John 10:10, "I am the good shepherd." And then the Bible often refers to us as sheep. And so in this psalm that David is sharing with us, God is the shepherd, we are the sheep. And David says this, hey, that the Lord is my shepherd. He makes this a prayer, a declaration. When he was facing fear, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need." Now, this is a promise to those who allow God to be their shepherd. When we allow God to lead us and we follow him and we follow his ways, he promises, watch this, to take care of our needs. Now, this is really important because in the days ahead, there are many of us that might have certain worries and stresses and fears arise, and we're going to need to remind ourselves that when God's my shepherd, he's going to take care of all my needs. In fact, you might want to write that down. When Jesus is my shepherd, he takes care of my needs. When you allow Jesus to be the leader of your life and you follow him and his guidance during this crisis, he promises he will take care of his sheep. He will take care of your needs. Now, he doesn't say he's going to take care of your wants and my wants. I have a lot of wants. But he does promise to take care of my needs. In fact, where I'm standing right now is a need that was met by Jesus this week. You see, on Monday, we found out that the Regal Cinemas was closing nationwide due to the coronavirus pandemic. And so on Monday, we find out, okay, we have no place to broadcast our New Hope Windward services to. And I had a fear and anxiety that started to rise up in me. And immediately I was like, no. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. This us having a broadcast location is a need, and Jesus is going to provide that. And once I starved that fear of where are we going to broadcast this, all of a sudden my faith rose up. When you feed your faith, you starve your fears. And I did it by simply just saying this. And I knew, I said, "God, I know you're going to provide us a place because this is a need." And so I am standing at Anchor Church in Kaneohe. And God provided this. And I am so grateful to Pastor Carl Moore and his amazing team that has supported us through this. They've provided, you know, their staff and so much help to make this happen. And so God is a God who provides our needs. And in the days ahead, when you're worrying about certain needs, just know, remember, declare what David did. Just say, "God is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He's going to take care of my needs." In fact, I put together a declaration that you can say to feed your faith. Listen to this. When you get worried in the days ahead, you might want to say some things like this. "God, I'm going to trust you as my shepherd, even when the news and the media scare me and cause me to fear. God, I'm going to trust you as my shepherd, even when there's no toilet paper to buy at Costco. God, I'm going to trust you that I'm not going to lose my mind with the kids home for so long." And all the parents said, "Amen," right? "God, I'm going to trust you as my shepherd, even when the stock market goes up and down. I'm going to trust you to take care of my needs, God." You make that a prayer and declaration. "God, I'm going to trust you as my shepherd, even when events are canceled that I was really looking forward to. God, I'm going to trust you as my shepherd, even if I'm told I have to stay home for weeks. I'm going to trust you to provide for my relational needs, my spiritual needs, my emotional needs, my physical needs. I'll do whatever you say to do, God, but I'm going to trust you to meet my needs." God, I'm going to trust you through this crisis. God, just declare that. Feed your faith. Just say, God, you've helped me in the past. You've taken care of my needs in the past. You're taking care of my needs today, and you're going to take care of them in the future. And I know I can't hear you, but I'm going to give myself a good amen for that, because God's trying to encourage us right now to feed our faith and starve our fears. And just do what David did. Remind yourself that God's going to take care of your needs when he's your shepherd. Amen? Yeah. All right. Let me give you another way that you can combat your worries and fears in the days ahead. Let's look at this next declaration, this next part that David talks about. And actually, you can write this down, and I'll show you the scripture in just a moment. But when Jesus is my shepherd, he gives me peace and strength. Now, let me tell you, if we ever needed peace and strength, it is right now. Would you agree with that? I mean, in a crisis, we need God's peace. And Jesus, the Prince of Peace, wants to share his peace with you. He is a God of peace. And he is, listen, he's a peace-sharing God. And I'm telling you, even right now, I just sense the peace of God right now. Wherever you're at, if you're open to it, just be open. You can probably just sense his peace. And if you don't sense it now, it's going to be coming in the moments and days ahead. And not only will he give you his peace, he'll give you his strength. It's physical strength, emotional strength, spiritual strength. All the things we need in a crisis. Here's how David said it. Look at this. My shepherd, he lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. What a great image here. Look at this. He says, as I'm a sheep, David said, and God's my shepherd, he leads me to these green meadows where I have lots of my needs taken care of. And he leads me beside these peaceful streams of water. And then he renews my strength. Here's what David's talking about, is that when Jesus is your shepherd and you follow him, he will give you rest for your soul. He'll give you peace for your soul. He'll give you shalom. It's an inner calm. And he'll give you strength. It's the deepest form of strength and peace that we need. And it's something that all of us need in a crisis. Because with all the changes and challenges, it's very fatiguing. And there are times where we don't feel calm. And so I would encourage you to just remind yourself, when Jesus is my shepherd, he gives me his peace and his strength, everyone. And this is really important because the Bible, again, describes us like being sheep and describes God as being the shepherd. Let me tell you a little bit about sheep and how they are. One shepherd describes sheep this way, that sheep are, they can be kind of ignorant at times, and they can follow people even if it's not productive, even if it's destructive to them. One shepherd was talking about how a flock can come up to the edge of a cliff. So a flock of sheep can come up to the edge of the cliff. And if the lead sheep goes over the cliff and dies, it doesn't matter. All the other sheep will follow suit behind that lead sheep. I mean, just picture that in your mind. Imagine being one of those sheep, you know? So you and I are sheep, and we're like, and we're sitting there just following these sheep in front of us in our flock. And then we're like, whoa, where did Barry go? He just went over the edge. I know this is really cheesy, just trying to keep you engaged, all right? Just hang with me. And Barry goes over the edge, Barry the sheep. And then there goes Bob the sheep. Okay, I know, really bad. And you get the point that these sheep just follow each other even when it's destructive and unproductive. Now, here's why I tell that to you. Because what we've experienced in the last several weeks is this. Many people in this world have been following each other when it comes to fear. You see, fear is contagious. And it's very easy to be infected with the virus of fear when other people are fearful. And just follow each other over the cliff of fear. And what God wants us to remind ourselves of, instead of falling into that cliff of fear and worry and stress, Instead, the people of God should be people of faith. We need to feed our faith and starve our fears. And so there may be people around us that are freaking out and full of fear, but we can just say, no. When Jesus is my shepherd, he gives me peace, his peace and his strength. And this is peace, folks, that surpasses understanding, the Bible says. In other words, it's peace you should not have in the midst of a storm, because it's peace that comes from God's Spirit in you, his Holy Spirit giving you that peace. It's amazing. Like this week, you guys, has been chaotic for me. Oh my gosh. It's been radically draining. I've been working 14, 16 plus hours a day. I don't know how many days in a row. And look at me. I've had peace all week. I've had strength from God. Now, I've had some physical fatigue, but there's this inner strength that God's been giving me. Why? Because Jesus is my shepherd, and he's yours too. And in the days ahead, you just need to know, he promises, as you turn to him and allow him to lead you, he will infuse his peace and strength into your heart. Can I get another good amen to that, everyone? Amen? Amen, amen. Amen. And this is so important, because right now, as we watch the news, there's a lot of media-induced fear that many of us are experiencing. Let me give you an example of this in my life. So last week after service, I was full of faith. I was full of joy, peace. I was like, woo, all right. And then I went and ran some errands, and I hopped on my phone, and I started reading an article about a woman who got the coronavirus. And it was a very fear-inducing story. And I'm telling you, as I read that story, all of a sudden I was feeding my fears and my faith began to get starved. And all of a sudden I was like, oh man, I hope that doesn't happen to me. And well, what if I already have it? And I, you know, just, it was just, I was feeding my fears from the news and the media, and I was starving my faith. And what God is saying to us is this: we got to feed our faith and starve our fears. I don't know about you guys, but maybe we should quarantine the media for a while. You know what I'm saying? Like, and to all of you in the media, please hear me. We love you, and that was just a joke. But here's what I'm trying to say. Maybe we should limit the amount of media that we expose ourselves to, the amount of news that we're watching, the amount of social media, because there's just so much panic, this pandemic of fear that's going on. Because if we want to have more calm and peace, we got to feed our faith and starve our fears. You know, Lisa and I just decided that, you know what, we're just not going to watch the news all day. I will check in maybe once a day. I mean, I've gone a few days without watching the news or reading the news, and honestly, I've been quite fine. I found out that anything you really need to hear, somebody's usually going to tell you about it. Now, please hear me. I'm not saying that we bury our head in the sand and that we don't listen to any of the news. Please don't hear that. We need to be alert. We need to be prepared. But what I'm saying is that you are what you eat. Did you hear that? You are what you eat. I am what I eat. And if we keep eating just these fear-inducing newsreels and articles and comments on social media, it's going to feed our fears and it's going to starve our faith. And God's saying to us, no. Feed your faith and starve your fears. You know, I also want to just say this about just everything that's happening in the news. And again, there's a lot of great news that's happening. And so I'm not saying we should not watch the news, but you may want to write this down. Don't believe everything you hear. Don't believe everything you hear. I think we've learned that over the last few weeks. There's some fiction that we thought was facts. And sometimes we just got to not believe everything we hear to try to separate the fact from the fiction. Take a look at how Scripture says this. Proverbs 23:3. Get the facts at any price and hold on tightly to good sense. And so what the Bible is saying is we should not be just people of faith. The people of God, the followers of Jesus, should be people of facts. And we should get the facts at all costs so that we have common sense. And so let's just remember that not everything we hear during this time is true. And so I want to encourage you, in order to feed your faith and starve your fears, let me give you a few things to kind of self-feed on during this time. These are just some practical ways you can feed your faith so you can have more peace and strength and sense God's presence. My daughter, the other morning, I walked into her room and I just plopped on the bed and I just said, "Hey, how you doing?" And she goes, "I'm doing okay, Dad." But she said, "When I woke up, I just felt unsettled." And I said, "Yeah, there's a lot of that going on these days." And she said, "But you know what I did, Dad? Is I just made a new playlist of worship music. I have one already, but I made a brand new one. And it's really been settling me, Dad." She said, "Do you want me to share it with you?" I'm like, "Yeah." And so she shared that with me. And I share that story with you because why don't we feed on worship songs during this time? You know, let's create playlists on YouTube or Apple Music or Amazon Music or however you like to listen to music. Let's listen to worship songs so that it turns our focus off of the pandemic and puts our focus on the promise keeper and the one who can help us in this crisis so we can sense his power and be filled with his spirit. Let's worship God. Man, turn your car into a worship center. We may not be gathering together on Sundays in person, but that doesn't mean we can't worship God. Woo! I get another good amen there, okay? We can worship God in our cars, in our homes. Let's just fill our homes with the praises of God. And as you feed yourself with God's worship music, it's going to starve your fears. Here's another thing we can do is we can make sure that we feed ourselves God's word. And if you're new here, we talk about this a lot at New Hope Windward, but we encourage you to watch messages like you're doing right now. In fact, if you're new to our church, I encourage you to go onto our website if you're not already there. And even if you're on YouTube right now, we have all of our past messages. And we just finished a series called Calm. Like, what a perfect series to watch. Many of you already saw these messages, but you might want to review them. And that can feed your faith and starve your fears. Another thing we talk a lot about here at New Hope Windward is self-feeding on God's word. And so I encourage you every single day to feed yourself some of God's scriptures like I'm feeding you some of them today, because that can increase your faith. Let me show you a verse that you can just kind of dwell on and feed your soul. This will calm your fears. Look at what David said in the same Psalm, verse 6. He said, "Even when I walk through the darkest valley," pause there. The Hebrew means in the shadow of shadows. David was saying, when I go through some of the darkest times in my life, which many of us are facing right now or potentially facing, even when I go through the shadow of shadows, I will not be afraid, David said. For you, God, you are close beside me. And I want you to just picture this. When you're going through the darkest moments in your life, you just got to say, "I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not." Why? Because Jesus, you are right beside me. You are close. You are with me. I'm not alone. And this is illustrated so well when we learn about sheep and shepherds. I learned a term a while back about what can happen to sheep. It's called being cast down. And when a sheep gets cast down, what happens is the sheep, when they fall on their side, sometimes they can be pretty uncoordinated. They can fall on their backs, so their legs are sticking straight up in the air. And what happens when a sheep gets cast down and they're back on their legs, they're on their back and their legs are straight up, is their legs actually freeze up because the blood seeps out of their legs and they can't move. They can't get themselves out of being cast down. And so it's a very dangerous position for a sheep to be cast down for several reasons. One is they can't move and get themselves up, so they're helpless. And so they're very susceptible to enemies attacking them. On top of that, if it's a hot day, is they can die within a few hours because when they're cast down on their back, air gets trapped in their stomach, and within a few hours, they can actually suffocate. So if you ever saw a sheep cast down on its back with its legs up for a long period of time, it is completely frightened and scared to death, literally. And so when a shepherd sees a sheep cast down, here's what the shepherd does. The shepherd comes to that sheep, And it bends down while that sheep is on its back. And the first thing it does is it starts massaging that sheep and starts reassuring that sheep. It's exactly what God does to us when we're freaking out. And the shepherd says, it's going to be okay. You're going to be all right. I'm here. You're not alone. And he starts to massage the sheep. He tries to get circulation back into that sheep. And the whole time he's just lovingly comforting and reassuring that sheep. He calls that sheep by name. And then once he sees that the sheep is starting to get some circulation, he'll turn it on its side, continuing to comfort that sheep. And then he'll stick his hand underneath the belly of that sheep because it still can't get up on its own. It's completely helpless still. And he, with his strength, he picks up that sheep and puts it on its four legs and holds it up because it's still not stable. And he stabilizes that sheep when it's in a crisis. And he just keeps comforting and massaging. It's going to be okay. I'm here with you. It's okay. And then as that sheep begins to get its equilibrium, and he knows that it can stand on its own, he removes his hands. And as the sheep starts to walk, he walks with it, ready to support it and help it until it can walk on its own. And I thought, man, that's exactly what God does to us when we are cast down. When our souls are cast down with fear and anxiety and discouragement. When we're sitting there going, God, I feel helpless. I can't do anything. That's when our great shepherd, Jesus, he just comes and he says, it's okay. He just comes to you. He says, it's okay. You're going to be all right. I got you. I've got you. And he just reassures you, I'm going to take care of all your needs. I'm going to give you my peace and my strength as you allow me to lead you. You do what I say. You do your part. I'll do my part. We'll do this together. And those times when you feel like, I can't carry myself, he carries you. He just carries you and he supports you and he walks with you. And that's why David said these final words. You want to feed your faith? You just say these words. For even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Listen, none of us really know fully what's ahead of us, but we do know this. We're not alone. We have the great shepherd with us. And we've all been through crisis before in the past, and God's going to help us get through this one. You are not alone. And so you don't need to fear. Now, fears will arise, but when that happens, you just got to push the pause button, and you just got to say, no, I'm going to declare, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's going to take care of all my needs. And God, you're going to lead me by still waters and green meadows. You're going to restore my soul. You're going to give me your peace and your strength. And even when I'm afraid and I'm walking through the shadow of shadows, the darkest valley, God, you are with me. And you're going to comfort and guide me through this. And I'm telling you, when you do that, you're going to feed your faith and starve your fears. Can you say amen to that? Amen. If you would, where you're at, if you wouldn't mind, I'm going to just lead us in a prayer time. And if you wouldn't mind just closing your eyes, and I want to pray for you. So let's go ahead and pray. Jesus, thank you so much for your words of encouragement today. Thank you that you are the good shepherd and you want to help us as your sheep. God, I want to just pray for everybody who's feeling fears and anxieties and worries, whether it's today or in the days ahead. God, I pray for your strength. I pray for your peace. Even right now, Lord, just wrap your arms of peace around them. Jesus, thank you that when we allow you to be our shepherd, when we follow you in your ways, you take care of our needs. And Lord, I know in the days ahead, there will be some challenging times, some hard times. but you're going to be there giving us your peace and your strength and your guidance and your wisdom. And I thank you for this church. I thank you that we don't have to go through this alone, God. I thank you that we can use technology to connect and that this too shall pass. And so until then, God, thank you for your encouragement, your hope. With everybody's heads bowed, if you've never invited Jesus into your life, that's how he becomes your good shepherd. You see, God is not the shepherd of everybody. He's the shepherd of those who allow him to lead them, to those sheep who follow him. And it's really a choice that we need to make each day. But if you've never made that choice for the first time, if you've never invited Jesus into your life, I'd encourage you. I'll lead you in a prayer right now. And just, I'd encourage you to invite him into your heart. The Bible says when you do that, that he will forgive you of all your sins as he's forgiven me of my many sins. And then he puts his spirit inside of you, his Holy Spirit. And that spirit of Jesus can actually give you strength and peace and wisdom, which is so helpful in a crisis. And so if you'd like to invite Jesus into your life, pray this prayer with me. Let's go ahead and pray this. Just say these words. Just say, Jesus Christ, I turn from my sins and I turn to you. Be my Lord and shepherd, my life leader and manager. Fill me with your spirit, with your strength, your peace, and your wisdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen? All right, amen. Hey, I want to congratulate all of you who prayed that prayer. And I just want to once again thank you all for joining us today, wherever you're at. And I want you to know this. I said this before. I'm going to say it again. I am committed to lead you through this crisis, and we're going to get through this together. You're not alone. You're going to see in the days ahead, our church is going to have different ways that you can connect, small groups online through Zoom and other things that we're planning to help support you through this. So you're not going to go through this alone. We love you. We're praying for you daily, and we are so thankful that you're joining us. So may God bless you, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Bye-bye.